Our scripture reading today is Philippians 1, 3 through 8. It deals with thanksgiving and prayer. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, and whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up.
Thanks, Kim.
We've been going through a short, kind of a summer series that I introduced a few weeks ago. I'm going to bring that to a conclusion today, just to put it back in context for you. These messages, while they feel a little bit light, there's really deep truths in them. Just to remind you of where we've been, that we've been walking together for the past several weeks. I introduced this series with pictures of lots of little tiny flowers that my wife and I had come across as we were hiking in Tennessee and places down south. Just amazed at the splashes of color and the intricacies of these little teeny tiny flowers that were tucked in the back hillsides and behind rocks and up cliffs in the woods. And I reflected on most times people, when they're decorating the places that they have, they put nice things out where everybody can see them. They tend not to put them in the back of a closet. You don't buy the nicest picture you can possibly find and then hide it in the back closet where nobody can see it. You put it out where you can enjoy it. And yet God, who is extravagant in his love, is so overflowing with so much towards you and to me that he can splash it everywhere that you can look. You can find God's love being demonstrated and poured out towards you. Beyond that, we talked about how I use the idea of two different mountains and two different hikes that Joan and I went on. One where we could see the destination the whole time, one in which you couldn't. And how discouraging it was when you think you're getting closer to the one and yet there's no indication, no visual feedback for you to tell you how close or how far you are from your destination, as opposed to when you can see where you're going the whole time. And Jesus has made himself our goal, our target. He has set himself out front and center for us, no matter where we're at in all the ups and downs and the turns and the dark places and the sunny places of our lives. Jesus has presented himself in a place where we can always see him and know that we are moving in the right direction. Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed upon him. Then I talked about when God leads, and I actually talked about how sometimes you think you're going the right way, or you're trying to follow the GPS or the maps, and it doesn't always feel as though you're going in the right direction. And yet, Scripture shows us that God himself doesn't always take us in the way that we think we should go. I use the illustration from the people of Israel when God brought them out of Egypt and was taken into the promised land. It tells us in this story that God did not take them the near way. You look on the map and I could just picture, in fact, it's spelled out for us in many chapters of Scripture, how the people grumbled because they felt God was taking them the wrong way. And yet God knew the plans he had for them and he knew what was necessary to take them to and through. And so when they would submit and follow the Lord, his plan was perfect. And for you and for me, we may find ourselves in paths and directions that we do not want to walk. My sister Tammy, nobody would choose to have to walk through what you walk through. Or our sister Faith, or our sister Brenda. These challenges that pop up in our lives, none of us wants to sign up for those. And yet God frequently takes us in places that don't make sense to us, because in those places he has planned to have in divine encounters with us that would strengthen our love and our affection for him. Then last week I talked about the mountaintop is only half of the path. If you ever go hiking and you go out to some woods someplace, drive your car out, you park it in the lot, you go to the mountain, you don't stop there. It's not like, woohoo, we made it, and you settle down. At least everyone that's here never did that. Or else you'd still be out there. The same thing when we go on a hike. We go out, we enjoy the visit, the view, the vista. It's always nice to be lifted high above everything and look down and get a bit of a perspective and see where your car is parked and how far you got to walk to get back there. And God invites us, and the story of Scripture is over and over how God will bring us and encourage us. And the example of Jesus removing himself, removing themselves, removing us from the day-to-day grind and the tugs of life, bring us to a high place, high above the things of life, where we're close to our Father. Get away face-to-face with him, be refreshed, but then go back down with that refreshing being poured in our spirits that we might be his representatives in this world. All of that is part of where we've been. Now, to kind of bring us to an end of this series, not the end of our studies and scriptures together, I want to launch off in one more topic with you. And if you've ever gone hiking and sometimes you get out to the paths, you come across things like this, then introduce you to the paths and the trails. This destination is 1.2 miles that way. Another destination is 1.5 miles the other way, or 10 miles or whatever. You'll see these all over the place. But one of the things I want to point out is frequently when you see these are the things that are most interesting. There's oftentimes these kinds of signs underneath are posted along the way, and they have a little bit more information that you might want to be aware about. This one happens to say, danger! There are bears that are active in this area. You know what? We saw them. If there are bears out and about, you want to know that. You think you're going to act a little bit differently if bears are out and about than if they're not? That's good information to know. So when we went hiking down in Virginia, here's Joan. By one of the many signs, we love to find these strange signs. We're just strange people because we find signs that say, you're about to die. And we go and we stand by them and take our picture and smile. It's like, we're nuts. And how many people have done that kind of thing? Okay, yes. We are silly people. There's signs of danger, danger. How many people remember Danger Will Robinson? Lost in Space. Robot. Danger, Will Robinson. And many times, life is putting all kinds of signs in front of us. Danger, Will Robinson. Danger. And we just smile. We enjoy it. Yeah, it's okay. Well, there are times when we need to be aware that there are things going on, bears out there. Here's what it says. There's no guarantee of your safety. I remember many years ago, there was a little one-panel comic strip about somebody. It was a comic strip in the newspaper. Guys out in the woods, and they were talking to each other and saying, well, the government would never let us go someplace where it's not safe. Those are probably the people that are falling off the side of the cliff of the Grand Canyon. Yes, life is not safe. Life is challenging. Life is tough. Anybody ever encountered difficulties? Yes. But one of the things that, along with these kinds of signs, you'll also see these other kinds of signs. So one says, you're about to die, but just in case you're stupid enough to keep going, here's some more things that you might want to know. Things like, make a lot of noise. Blow whistles. Joan walks around clacking the sticks together. I just laugh. Really loud. Watch out for signs of bear. If you see little piles of stuff that look bigger than dog droppings, it's probably not a dog. Stay away from large dead animals. Okay, how many people need to be told that? Stick to marked paths and trails. And then here's one. Hike or camp in a group. Hike or camp in a group. This is the one I want to hit on today as we bring our series kind of to a close. What it means to do life together. What it means to stick together as we go through life. And again, I'm pulling this out from some of the conversation we had about, or that came out of our experiences hiking. And I'm leveraging thoughts that God spoke to us and shared with me as we were hiking. But the application is not that I'm trying to get everybody to go hiking. You know, I'm not trying to convince you to go hiking. Now, if you like hiking, great, go for it. If you think it's something you want to try, awesome. But what I'm trying to share with you is some of the things that you just learn in life that are applicable to our lives as Christians. So let me just fire off a few of these in no particular order. One of the things about doing life together is there is safety in numbers. When you're hiking, it's always a good thing to have other people around with you, especially if you're in bear country. You just want to make sure that you're the fast, not you're just not the slowest one in the bunch. Right, so make sure if you're going out in bear country, you get a whole bunch of other people and some people that are slower than you. Then you're probably, is that what we're talking about? No. Okay, Tammy, I don't know. You're turning red and laughing too hard. I'm not quite sure. Are you guilty of doing this? Oh, okay. But there's safety in numbers when we go out for a walk, when we go out for a hike, especially when you're going out in the woods. And in the book of 1 Peter, Peter speaks to the idea of what's happening even in the church context. One of the things that Peter points out is in a congregation, in a church like this, or churches all throughout the world, throughout the ages, God has positioned brothers and sisters in there to be a support system. Peter speaks about the eldership or the leadership in the church, that those that God raises up to be leaders over you, that it's their heart that they watch out for you. That me or other pastors, our heart is that we might help you get safely from where you are further down the road in your walk with Christ. That we might encourage you and prod you. And Peter says, and he's actually speaking to the elders there as well as to the church. He's reminding elders, do that rightly with a mind and a heart towards God that you're responsible to Him. But he's also encouraging the church that because they're responsible to God for you, and if they're taking that seriously, then you should submit yourself to them. That's part of what God designed the church for, is that you might have people that are trying to help you move down the path. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us that you should have confidence in your authority, that you should be willing to submit to them. If I say, worship God today with me, I'm hoping you're going to worship God. It's not like I just want to hear you sing. I want to encourage you to come yourself closer to the presence of God. It says, because we must give an account to God for that. It also says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that we're also responsible to encourage you when you're down, to correct you if we see things that you're doing that are outside of God's heart's desire for you, His will. That God surrounds you with brothers and sisters in a context like this to move you safely down the road. People that withdraw from a church or from a congregational clustering of some sort, remove themselves from that oversight. Remove themselves from that accountability. But it can also happen in a church. You can be in a church of 5,000 and miss this also. Because you come, you show up, and you leave, and you don't connect with each other. So the things we're talking about here, when we're talking about doing life together, we're talking about a connection at a life level, not just because we're all in the same container. So this is the idea of safety. Hebrews chapter 3 tells us, take care, brothers, if any of you with an evil, unbelieving heart reject the things of God, reject the plan of God, reject His provision for you, and withdraw from the church. You are like going out into bear country, and you're wearing a sign around your neck that says, free dinner for bears, or for that which would attack you. There's safety that God has designed in this church. There's also the kind of accountability that He wants us to have. He wants us to get the junk out of our lives. And we do that by interacting with each other. When they bless us by their encouragement, by their resources, when they bless us by their words of correction, when they say, you shouldn't be doing that, that's not God's heart for you. That is not to lift ourselves above you. It's to help you grow and to keep you on the safe path that God has designed for you. You step outside of God's parameters, you expose yourself to difficulty, to the attack of the enemy, to frustration, to anger, to sin, and stuff that can lead you astray. And brothers and sisters, especially when you connect to them at a very low personal level, you let them become your friends and you do life with them. They can help monitor, and you can help monitor their lives and how they're doing and be on the alert for when dangers come. So there's this idea of doing life together. One of the things we find is that there's this idea of safety that God is designed for. It's beyond safety, though. Another thing that we see is we have fellowship. It's nice to have friends. You know, God designed every one of us that we would have a sense of we need acceptance. We need recognition. How many people like it when someone, you walk in a room and you see someone that knows your name? God designed you that way. He designed us to desire to be known and to know each other. I'm not saying you have to know every single person throughout the church, but get to know some people at a low, intimate level. Fellowship is part of God's design for us. The idea of fellowship encompasses its friendships, or take that just a little bit further, camaraderie, which is a little bit beyond just a casual friendship, or all the way down, or I should say up, to the word koinonia that's introduced in Scripture, which is beyond just knowing each other and doing stuff together. Koinonia, the idea that God has designed for us, is when there's a partnership that others have in your life, in your success, in your walk with God, where you allow people to know you deeply and intimately. When you let them speak into your life and they help you raise your kids, or you help them raise their kids, and you allow them to share what they've learned of the things of God or what they've learned through life, and you share with them. And that design brings us together, and it fosters a sense of unity. That when there's brothers and sisters that are known by each other, know each other intimately, and the love that grows in that context, the world should get a vision of what they're missing. You know, Allentown recently, just in the paper, had an article about some of the problems they're having with gang violence. There was just a shooting, 2 weeks ago in downtown Allentown, which they believe was gang-related. Why do people get involved in gangs? Because they have that sense of need. They yearn to be known and to know. And God has designed for you and for me to find that satisfaction that He put in us, the need for that, to find it in His people. People that can speak the heart of God into us. And that despite, we had PRC yesterday, and one of the comments that came up is, you know, we're a family. You know what? We don't always get along. How many people have brothers and sisters that every single day of your life you agree, it was wonderful. You were dancing on clouds all throughout your life with your family. No. It's not always perfect in a family, and yet we're a family. And sometimes we rub each other the right way, and sometimes we rub each other the wrong way, but God uses that like sandpaper to polish us. And that's His heart's desire for us, that in doing life together, we find that sense of deep intimacy with each other, koinonia. In 1 John 1:7, said, if we walk in the light, if we walk as Jesus Himself did, then we will experience the fellowship that God desires for us to have with Him, as well as the fellowship that He desires for us to have with each other. That was His design for us from the beginning. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 tells us that when the church kicked off, when it had its big heyday, its inauguration day, one of the things that was found in that era, which should still be found in the church today, is this sense of interconnection with each other. It says that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship with each other, to breaking of bread and sharing food and meals together, and to prayer. If these are missing in your life, whose fault is it? It's available in the family of God. So in addition to having safety, in addition to having fellowship, God is also woven into our lives, and we find that when we're doing life together, we're walking the path, we're hiking together, you see more than you see by yourself. It's neat when you go out and you're hiking, and you're walking, and some, you know, if there's 5 or 10 of you, frequently it's the one up front, hey, there's a bear up ahead, or the one behind, hey, there's a snake back here. Hey, did you see this flower? Did you see this plant? We have very good friends that we've known for a long time. The one guy, his name is Paul Gressman. He had his own lawn care business. He was a certified arborist. He knows all about plants and trees and stuff. Everybody walking along, John and I just walking along, and he's pointing out all these little trees and little plants. Oh, this tree is a da 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 da. I can't even say that word. And yet he knows its mother, its father, its grandparents. He knows everything. He knows the history of the stupid plant on the side of the street. I just, oh, it's a plant. But it's neat when you have other people that can point these things out to you that you might otherwise miss. And Scripture has designed us that we speak into each other, that we speak encouragement, that we can speak and help each other when they're weak, that we can help each other see what some of those, sometimes there's things pressing in upon us that we don't even understand, and others can help us expose those. They can help us see in Scripture how we can meet, how God can meet those needs. Sometimes we're just so far underneath the burden of life, and yet a brother or sister that's somewhat removed outside of the moment, and yet close enough to our lives to see into it, they might be able to speak in or pray with us. They can see things that we can't see because they're a little bit disconnected, but still close enough to the situation. Not only do you have safety and fellowship, you see more, but you also learn more. Like I said, Paul Cressman, he would tell us all about these plants. He knew every snake and butterfly and bird, and he would just, and Joan and I just like, yeah, okay. We're just like, wow, isn't it pretty out here? We went one time, anybody ever go to Hawk Mountain? Go up Hawk Mountain, and we're up there one time. You go up Hawk Mountain, and it's a place where hawks and other raptors come flying at different times of the year. We're up there on Hawk Mountain, and it happens to be a day where there's a huge crowd of people up there, and there's some guides out there pointing out the different birds. Now, if you've ever been to Hawk Mountain, one of the reasons why so many raptors fly this area is because the jet stream practically blows them through there. So if a bird or raptor happens to come shoo, flying to it, he goes, shoo, just like that. They're fast. And so we were out there one time, and there's a guide who knows birds and knows the territory, and a whole bunch of other people that know all the hills and mountains. And they were calling out, they were identifying landmarks and fields and stuff. Oh, there's a blah, 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 big black, some kind of bird, I don't even know the name, some kind of a hawk, a red-tailed hawk. We'll just use something simple. Red-tailed hawk flying over a farmer's field over there. And everyone is like looking left, and Jonah and I looking in the wrong direction. We don't even know what he's talking about. And then he's, you know, they're talking about the birds. But we learned as you go there a couple times, you get exposed to people that know more than you do. And they teach you, and you learn from them. The same thing in the church. God has surrounded us with people that have different life experiences. They've been through challenges that you and I haven't been through yet. And they can speak to us how God helped them or showed them truths through what they've gone through. And so they can share their gifts with us. We can share our gifts with them. You know, not only do you learn by receiving, you also learn by giving. God has put, from the moment you come to Christ, He has endowed you with spiritual gifts, and His heart's desire is that you might find out what they are and use them to bless His family, bless the people of God. But if you're sitting at home watching TV, even if it's good TV, watching Pastor Rick on TV, that's not going to happen. But you can be at home watching the best preachers, and yet you never get the opportunity to exercise, to try your wings out. But you learn that in the church. You release your giftings. And suddenly you learn things that other people speak to you or minister to you, and you also find out who you are, God designed to be in the family of God, by doing that in church. This is part of what God has designed the church to do and to be for us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 14 says, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle, disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help all those. And that's actually a cut and paste there. That's not supposed to be there. But my point in all that, I can spin this, is that we, when we come together, that we can actually find out, well, hey, you're being a little bit lazy here. We can stir on and spur on each other to the things of God. So we have safety, we have fellowship, we get to see more, we get to learn more. But there's also, in the church, we have mutual encouragement. You know, sometimes you're walking down that path, and you're like, you can't even see the top of the mountain. You don't know where you are. The GPS has failed. You feel like, oh, I can't even make another step. It's like, we haven't even gotten from the car to the path yet, and you're tired. We find that when you do it together, others can speak to you. They can encourage you. You can do this. I am deathly afraid of heights. I do not like heights. When I was in the Air Force, I worked in F-15 fighter jets. The wing of a fighter jet, of an empty, no gas in the fighter jet, is about as high as that brown thing. It doesn't, the top of the wing, and the wing has a thickness to it. So you're on I was a weapon guy. I had to walk around the top of this airplane. The first time I went up on the plane,
The F-15 happens to have a Gatling gun mounted in what we call the wing route, which is kind of right where the wing connects to the plane. One of the first times I had to go up there, I had to work on this Gatling gun on the edge of the wing. I laid down on the wing. I crawled out to the edge of that wing. I was scared to death. So one time we went with friends up to Maine, and there was this thing called Beehive. It's a mountain, not super high, but it's steep. And you climb up this thing, and it starts out with just a regular old trail, and then you come to the side of a cliff, and then there's metal rungs that you have to start to pull yourself up, and then the metal rungs go horizontally over big empty holes and just cliffs. The thing just drops. It's like someone laid a ladder from a rock to a rock, and you got to go across this thing. Rick Surge is scared of heights. But seeing all those people in front of me doing it, there's a bunch of people piling up behind me that are waiting their turn to get across that horizontal ladder. My friends, Paul and Susie, they're oh, this is great, come on. Mutual encouragement. They encouraged me. Joan, when we were out hiking in Israel, up on the side of the mountain, same kind of thing. It's scary, but you have brothers, you have sisters that stand behind you. We're here. We got your hand. We got your back. We'll get you through this. You can do this. And same thing with life. When you allow people into your life, into your circle, into your circumstances, especially people that know you and you let them be a part of your life, they can be there. That God's intent is that they encourage you when the difficulties come, and you can encourage them. We reach out a hand to support each other. Hebrews 10:24 says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other. All the more as, what I'll say, the day is getting long, and we long for the return of the Lord, and things look bad. And we find that encouragement. And we have brothers and sisters that help us keep focused on what the upward call is in our lives. So Romans 12, verses 11 and 12 said, this is part of what Paul was speaking, writing to those, and similarly to what he was writing in what Kim read for us this morning, to the book of Philippians, is that there's this idea of having a partnership working together. And there's a love that comes into those relationships, birthed in the throne room of God through the blood of Christ Jesus, that we can share a love for each other that goes beyond anything that this world has to give. And Paul, writing back to the people in Rome, says, I long that I may actually see you and meet you in person. He's writing to people that have been an encouragement to him, and he didn't even know them yet personally. He said, but I long that I might come to you, that when I get there, that the things that God has poured into me, I can share with you. And the things that God has shown you and sown into you, that he has in store for me, I can receive them. The same thing when we allow our lives to come together. You have stuff I need. I have stuff that you need. And that's by God's design. So doing life together, we have safety, we have fellowship. You see more, you learn more. There's mutual encouragement. And there's help right there when you need it. You know, so many times we get calls at the church, oh, pastor, call for, pray for us. And we do. We pray and we visit people when we can. And we try to be there. But the reality is, it's not just up to the pastor to be an encouragement and to pray for you. You can have brothers and sisters that you can just call, hey, I'm going through a tough time. You know, and just the idea is that we encourage each other. We pray for each other. We lift up each other. And it's people right there that know you. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other, that you might be a fountain of the truth and of the love and of the grace of God that pours into my heart and my life. That's God's design for us. Proverbs 17, verse 17 said, a friend loves at all time, and a brother is born for adversity. You know, it's great when you're doing stuff together, having all kinds of fun, but it's much better. I'll tell you what, it's great to have fun times together, but when you're going through a difficult moment in your life and you just feel crushed, it is awesome to just have someone there that may not even have the words to say, but they have an arm to put around you to help get you through. How many times do we find also the benevolences of the church available to us? We, our church is frequently helping where we can, but in all honesty, our desire has been increasingly focusing on ministering within the church as opposed to ministering outside. That's the call of God, is that we carry each other's burdens day by day. And thus, when we do, we carry each other, their struggles, their needs, your hopes, your failures. We carry those burdens with you. Somehow, someone that just walking along with you, with encouragement, with their help, just makes the load feel so much lighter. Matthew 18, verse 20, Jesus also told us that when we come together, just a couple of us, there's a lot more than a couple here, but even just a couple, that there in the middle of two or even three, there is Jesus to bring his help, to bring his ministry, to bring his hope, to bring his peace, to bring his love. Somehow, in just that small, intimate gathering, the things of Christ Jesus are made fresh and made revealed. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, the section that Kim read for us this morning, two are better than one. They have a good return in their toil, for if one falls, the other will lift him up. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and he doesn't have anyone else to help him lift him up. And though a man, a bad guy, might beat you up, might prevail against you, you get your big brother alongside you, doesn't happen so readily. Though a man might prevail against one who's alone, two will withstand him, and a cord of three strands is not easily broken. You know, you can take two or three strings and twist them together, and suddenly there's more strength in the three together than there is by the one by itself. So, just in kind of a quick, rapid-fire reminder, one of the things that God has designed for us, I learned it in the trio as a reminder of the things in the church, God has designed for us to find in the body a sense of safety, a sense of fellowship. He's designed that in the body that we might come to see more of what we're facing or what's going on in the world around us and also see things of Christ better. That we might learn what he's doing and what he wants to do and how he wants to use us. That we might find mutual encouragement. That we might recognize that he has made help available to us. It's right there. But it kind of, at the end of all this, I want to remind you that God himself, from the time that we open the scriptures, we find that God, the creator of you and me, who has the plan in his mind of what this life is all about, he himself dwells in community. And so we ourselves find that when we embrace the community that God has surrounded or made available to us, that we are also walking as Jesus walked. We are embracing the gift of each other that he's given us. We find that the fellowship that he is already experiencing in the Godhead, that he has made that available to us to experience right here, right now, in this earth. I want to encourage you, really, to just evaluate your own life and to consider for yourself to what extent are you truly experiencing the fellowship, the koinonia of the family of God that he wants you to know and experience, to taste. I want to encourage you really to consider and maybe and to really pray about, are there a group of people, I'm not talking to everybody, I'm saying find a few people, your brothers and sisters, find them in the church and get intentional in doing life together. Plan times regularly to get together, to just do stuff together. But put at the center intentionality in doing it that you might encourage each other in the things of God. Come together to pray. Come together to encourage each other, to share your experiences or your questions, your doubts, your fears with each other and bring them together with the intention of doing, making yourself available to the gift that God has in your brothers and sisters. It's not simply that you, that it's a two-way street. You've got to be willing to give of yourself to others, to lay down your life that you might give of something that God has in you. But you also have to be willing to receive others. And I'm not saying it doesn't, I'm not saying, okay, everybody sign up for the pastor and his wife to come to your house. I'm not saying that. I'm saying finding a few people in the church and just say, you know what, let's just start doing life together. Let's do Bible studies. Let's just get together and go out and have a picnic in the park. Let's just go out and get a cup of coffee, and let's just talk about the things of God, pray together, encourage each other, study the Scriptures, wonder about the Scriptures, and do life together. Walk this path that He has traced out for you. I promise you that when you do that with the intention of doing it in the presence of God, that you will experience what Jesus said, two or more gathered in His name. He doesn't say gathered just for prayer. He just says gathered in His name, that He will be there in the midst. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for the presence of God that has been guaranteed to us through Your word. Father, Jesus Christ left His throne room in heaven that He might come down to this earth and show us what it looked like to have intimacy and fellowship with God in reality. I thank You for the gift of Christ Jesus, and I thank You for the gift of the body of Christ. And I pray, Lord, that we as Your people might surrender ourselves, give of ourselves, yield ourselves to experience in an increasing way that koinonia, that love, that fellowship that You've designed for us. Father, help us to pursue doing life together with a few people, Lord God, with the intention of bringing together brothers and sisters into our lives that we might encourage them and that they might be an encouragement to us. May we experience those things we talked about today in increasing measure, day by day. In the name of Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen.